Matthew chapter 9. Thank you, sweet saints of the Georgetown Baptist Church, for all you do, your love and your kindness and tenderness. And each one of you is very important. Remember, the voice of one is important.
Yes.
Thank you for your voice all down through the week, as the pastor said, in the parking lot, in the back, out here, out by the cookers, and wherever you was at. Thank you for your witness. It means something. It really means something to God, and means something to us. Pray for me. Some of you already have this morning. Usually by this time, everything's set. I leave from here. I have left from here and go straight to the airport, especially with Deacon Lot going. But this time, I don't have any clear direction from the Lord. I want to, like the apostle wanted to preach in Asia, but it's forbidden of the Holy Ghost. So pray for us. I would like to go. I got a good friend down in Texas. He's raring to go now. He's 79 years old. And both of us, Brother Morris, both of us would like to go before we get old. Brother Brunson knows that trip is hard on old bodies. Matthew chapter 9. Follow along as I begin reading in verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, beginning in chapter 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they said, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils." And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Amen. My dear old friend, Brother Eddie Brunson, pray for us, brother.
Father, we come to you this morning.
Oh.
Yes. And I know this brother. I know him as a dear friend and a faithful servant in your kingdom. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Would you anoint him from on high?
Yes.
Would you put him on and wear him as a garment? And let us see for truth.
Yes.
The truth that is there today. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, my friend. I want to preach to you on 3 points. I hope I can get the post set and keep coming back to it. The compassion of Christ on them, the condition of them, and the commission to us for them or to them. We must keep in view that the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ was the gospel of the kingdom, verse 35. John came preaching the kingdom of God at hand. Repent. Christ brought the message and enhanced it. He said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is among you. Here he preached the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. The book of Acts closes out with Apostle Paul preaching the kingdom. Now, until you're born again, you can't see the kingdom.
That's right.
And you can't enter into the kingdom. Implying, and the Bible teaches that, once you are born again, you see the kingdom. They've been witnessing to you. And you enter into the kingdom. We call it joining the church. He has his kingdom, and we could pursue that, but I want to get back to this. He did many miracles and healings, but his message was the fulfilling of Scripture. Let us keep that in mind. If you remember last Sunday, he testified the Scripture. It is written. It is written. Sometime I just have to say, especially at my ripe old age, I just have to say, nevertheless, it is written. Because the Holy Ghost will remind me of the little part of the Scripture, but not exactly where it's at. And I cannot depend on my stupid, goofy human brain when I was a young man, now especially when I'm old. I lost my grip in my hands, and I'm losing my grip between my ears. First of all, the compassion of Christ on them. Now, I read all this to show you that there is such a thing as healing. It still is. Keep your finger right there. I'm coming right back. Mark chapter 16. If you'd like to turn there, that's going to be my next text. Mark chapter 16. Compassion. The compassion of Christ on them. By definition, it's to have the bowels yearn. Extending on out, we come out with the word spleen. You have run as a child or something happened to you and you cramp in your side. That's your spleen regulating the oxygen, and it hurts. To have the bowels yearn, Christ proved his compassion by ministering to hungry, hurting, undeserving, damned and doomed people. He was full of sympathy, full of pity to them. He is the compassionate Christ. Preached that in a tent meeting in California. Christ is the express image of the Father.
Yes.
So therefore, God is a compassionate God.
Yes.
Gracious, full of mercy. Mm-hmm. He declares himself to Moses.
Yes.
When God would have killed a whole bunch and raised up a nation out of the rocks, which he could have, Moses quoted God to God.
Mm-hmm.
Compassionate, long-suffering, merciful. God said to Moses, Moses says to God, that by no means clears the guilty. So what I want to point out to you this morning is the compassionate Christ has compassion on them.
Yes.
I always say this somewhere in a wedding. I pray God give me the right little gap to put it in. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Yes.
Now, I'm not trying to get you to go back, but glance back this morning if you can. Brother Eddie and I can. We've done it together in an old moldy room and out in the sunshine in church and at the house. The hole from which we were hewn, brother.
Yes.
Just... I won't testify about how bad he was, but he really needed to be saved. This compassionate Christ that we have can be touched. Hebrews 4, it's a throne. It ain't a coffee shop where you drink coffee with him. It's a throne, but it's a throne of grace. We come before his throne again and find grace to help. Mercy, grace to help. In a time of need.
Amen.
Why? He's compassionate. He's the compassionate Christ. He can be touched by faith. He can be moved in our direction to supply and meet our need. The miseries of sinful, self-destroying souls are the greatest ministry. It's amazing grace that Christ would pity those that hadn't got enough sense to pity themselves. They headlong in destroying their brain and their body in sin, and He pities them and shows mercy. I told you last Sunday, I found the Lord. No, not really. But that's my testimony, as with those boys in John chapter 1. I told them on the Monday after my declaration of faith on Sunday, I found the Lord. Now, He wasn't lost. I didn't find Him. I was lost. He found me and pitied me.
Amen.
Had compassion on me. And some saint told me the truth. You'll die in your sins and go to hell. I had already had a bump in it too. A preacher stopped on the road one time, and boy, did he give us a bawling out. So I done him the kind favor and returned it to him with certain adverbs and adjectives injected. Told him what he could do.
I can imagine.
He drove off. Later, the Lord saved me, and He found me and apologized. I'm talking about being pitiful, kind, like our Lord, long-suffering, compassionate to soul. It may be the most Christ-like spirit we could display.
Yes.
Now remember last Sunday, answer not a fool according to his folly. Well, Don and I were talking about going on a mission trip with a great apostle, and he said we forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go to Asia. But we flat dab going to Bithynia. Spirit suffered us not. Sometime, brother and sister, God does not have a word for you, from you, for them at that time. Don't get on a guilt trip and a condemnation.
Right.
Just pray and be open and be of a kind, tender heart.
Yes.
Maybe you won't get fussed at by the heathen. I'll give that preacher a good talking to. I read his mail. What some of those words I learned before I started the first grade in school. And he jerked the truck in gear and drove off. There's people like that. There's people like that in your life, like I was, wicked, ungodly, undone, supposed to be grown, had come back, brother, from the Cold War that got hot and hotter, mad, crazy, insane. Yeah, there's a couple of things happening in my life. Bear with me, I'm not bragging, I'm testifying. A couple of things happened in my life after I come back to the U.S., it would not even have taken a good lawyer to get me off on temporary insanity. I said that in Arlington, Texas, and the pastor, Walter Sanders, said, I believe that. I'm talking about the compassion of Christ on them. Keep that in mind. The condition of them, they fainted. Now, people, you might be running a wild howling or prowling, but inside, fainting. Fainting. Nothing satisfies. Fainting. Nothing meets that need. Fainting. Going on, going from one thing to the next thing. Fainting. Feeble. Foolish. Frivolous. Fainting souls. Precious souls faint. Some of them's in church. Fainting souls. We got about a 35-year-old Arab Muslim that's come to the gospel meeting 3 times. Somebody said, man, that'd be something if God saved that Arab Muslim. I said, it don't take any more power and grace for God to save an Arab Muslim as it does a self-righteous hypocrite Baptist.
Yeah.
Maybe less.
Right. Yeah.
Fainting souls. Not being nourished up by Christ, by the saints. Something happening. They're wandering around, scattered, very needy, scattered out. I read in the Proverbs, some of them, Brother Eddie, can't go home and sleep unless they've caused some soul to fall. and they'll cause the righteous to go astray in an evil way. I'm quoting you the Bible, people. That ain't Carterism. That's Bible. Afflicted, scattered. Those that have a minister, maybe as it's this time, may be as bad as not having one. Laying heavy burdens on them they wouldn't touch with their little finger. Pressed down, feeble, scattered, faint. Sheep having no shepherd. Now we know where we're going with this. The great shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that shepherds our soul, the one that came where he was at, scattered, lost, caught in the thickets of life, down, down. Brother Eddie, I said, I can't die like this. The great shepherd, the good shepherd came, found me. Jesus is the true shepherd. Listen, people, without him, there's nothing in life. Read Ecclesiastes. And then go back and read it and look for those times where Solomon presents the good life, the gift of life, the gift of enjoying life. To enjoy life is the gift of God. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes, so we have the contrast there. You cannot satisfy yourself without the good shepherd. You'll still be a sheep, lost, damned, doomed, and deserving it without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he had compassion on us, right? Let us be the one that'll have compassion. And not honing in people's lives. Surely not giving them a false hope. God said to Moses, that by no means clears the guilty. Moses said to God, that by no means clears the guilty. I'm not talking about giving the people to excuse themselves. I just preached in January at a church. I preached the Good News America campaign for them in 1976. One of the old saints came by and said, you know what you said to us? And I said, no. Help me, I'm getting old. They said, you said, I hope we're not successful in this. What? Telling our countrymen God loves them, hates their sin, but he loves them. That ain't what the Bible teaches people. No. Until a fellow faces it, he's in a bad condition before God. He ain't. The gospel's not good news. So when we go, let's be faithful. They need that. Those sheep that are not of this fold needs the witness of the saints. Remember, the voice of one is very important. Consider this. I'm going to get it out of just one chapter in the Bible, 8. Some are scattered. But we follow that narration and some are sent. Probably our witness is very effective, more effective than we think when we are pressed out of our comfort zone by the sovereignty of God. Yes. Oh, I believe in the sovereignty of God. I said that, man, I got some hearty amen. Yeah, amen. Glory to God, glory to God. I said, our sovereign God had his way in the so-called Civil War. Yes. Now, I ain't telling on them because I hadn't told their name, and if some of y'all hear it, you know it happened. I never got to go back. Now, I used that in court. It was not a civil war. Right. It was a war between the states. Yes. But however you look at it, however you say it, God had his will. Yes. I mentioned that by way of introduction at an all-black church. And I said, we've never had a civil war. Boy, they went swelling up around the neck and shoulders. I said, then. And I put my thumb and finger together. And I said, we are that close to one in the United States now. The news would have us, I'm talking to black people, the news would have us to think the white boys killing the black boys and the women and kids get caught in the crossfire. That ain't it. It's black boys killing black boys and the women and kids get caught in the crossfire. I said, but I don't usually mix current events with preaching. I'm going to go ahead and preach. Got through, Brother James said, we're going to get Brother Carter to come back down here and get him back here by the coffee pot and let him talk to us about these current events. You know how, if you watch a stupid tube, you're infected with current events. Yeah, right. It ought to provoke us to pray and say, oh, God, please have mercy on us, on our land. Listen, Philip ran, I'm talking about, I've come back to this. They need a witness. Christ is the compassionate Christ. He has compassion on them. They are poor, pitiful, lost, damned, doomed, wandering around, sheep with no shepherd, faint, scattered, all in this wicked, complex, cruel world. Nothing fair. Nothing fair in this world. Ask Jonah. You don't even want to cast yourself on the weather. You people live down there in the coast. There's no mercy in the weather. It's only in God Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ. Philip ran, Acts chapter 8. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, here's a man coming from church.
Right.
Now, modernizing it, paraphrasing it. Going along there with probably an entourage in his chariot, reading the Bible out loud, the book of Isaiah. And Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, people, I want to make this point. I want us to get it. Please. Listen, his answer is of so much importance to us. How can I? Except some man guide me. There comes our part, people.
Yes, sir.
I can't go there. And he took that. I like to pull this on my kinfolks. And some of my wife's outlaw, in-law kinfolks. He didn't turn to the book of Acts. He took that passage in Isaiah and presented to him the suffering Savior.
Yes. Yes.
That died for our sins according to the Scripture. And one day God commanded light to shine in my dark, damn, doomed, deserving heart.
Yes.
And the light came on, and that became good news.
Yes.
Glad tidings. Christ died for sinners. Oh, what a blessing. What a wonderful thing to understand finally Christ died for me, a wicked man, a heathen. People, I never owned a Bible. Oh, I'm lying. At that time in the military, the Gideons give you a little Gideon New Testament, and it had to be at that place in that footlocker, that exact place, you fellas might remember. It couldn't be anywhere else but right there. When we no longer had an open locker inspection, I was so ungodly and uncaring, a heathen, I don't even know where it went. Trusting now God got it to somebody that would use it or give it to somebody that needed it. But when God saved me, I bought me a Bible. And I got out that horse barn and I started reading it. Oh! It was in truth the Word of God and not the Word of men. It began to penetrate my heart and go into my spirit. And what came out of that governed and governs my mortal flesh. We aim at the mind matters now. The mind matters. But it ain't all brain to brain. It's the Word of God. And the people of God with a loving, compassionate, caring heart, though you might say, you bunch of snakes, it's in love. And it goes deep down. And they bow up or bow down. And bow and bow spell the same way, it's just a different reaction. Do you have the vision that Christ will find those lost sheep, not of this fold? That's all around us, people. I faced this when it became apparent I ain't going to get to make my trip. Maybe not even this year. And I looked around MacArthur, Arkansas, Brother Eddie, and I saw a field white under harvest already. Chris Morgan got up and he said, at least we can tell them how good God's been to us. And it stuck me in the heart. Hallelujah. I can do that. We're not supposed to win friends and influence people anyway. We don't supposed to have all the answers to all the problems. But we do have the answer, and he's been mighty good to me.
Yeah.
That's when I told that stout-hearted, stiff-necked farmer, I found the Lord. He asked me what I know good. His name Jesus Christ. That's the only good one I know, including me and you.
Mm-hmm.
And I found him. We have that. Thank you, Sister Faye. We have that. The commission to us, for them. Those whose interest in that fainting soul, and they be saved by Jesus Christ, are rare and few, then and now. One of the best books I've got on evangelism and mission work is an Assembly of God man. And he titled it, Out Where the Sinners Are. That's where we live, people. That's where we labor. That's where we love. That's where sometimes they press us out of our comfort zone. But sometimes the Holy Spirit instructs us. I used to, I try not to go that far being quiet now. I used to get a little hard, tight knot right there. Brother Perry, I knew it was my turn. It was time. I was on a job. We was in a hole doing the work. I'm the preacher. Everybody on the job knows it, and they carrying on their old trash. And this young fella standing up there, and he said, I want to introduce y'all to my friend. Arm hanging out in the empty air. He said, his name's Jesus Christ, and you're going to have to come before him and give an account for every idle word. And it touched the preacher. Sometime the Lord gives us what to say. Just something like that. Grip somebody's heart. One soul. Another water, God gives the increase. Listen, can't we see that they can't see? They're not commanded to come. We have a heart and a command and a commission to go and tell. Listen to this out of Mark chapter 16. Are you there? The Lord opened my understanding up to this, flying over the island of Cuba. Verse 14, if you have a Bible that cast a doubt on this, this is still the inspired Bible. The inspiration of it is preserved, and this is the inspired Bible. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he had risen. Ladies, it was the women. Men, they wouldn't believe the women. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now it's amazing. The many people think the rest of this is ceased, but they insist on this. Even Baptist people, you got to be baptized. Now baptism not essential, but you got to be baptized. But the rest of it don't matter. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Let me make a point. It might slip from me. Signs follow believers. First sign that followed you was your new vocabulary. The Bible does not give us any kind of a hint that saints follow signs. That's dangerous. That's very dangerous. Most people are more concerned about the coming signs than they are the coming Christ. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now, before you fall out with me about a couple of comments I made, listen to this. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the signs. With signs following. Let me caution you, signs and wonders are going on today. If it does not confirm the word of God, it's of the devil. You say, well, they just confused. Who confused them? Who's the author of confusion? The emphasis I'm trying to place on is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I'm calling us to is his compassion and their condition and our commission. It's upon us. He hath given to us the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, what? God was in Christ.
Amen.
It ought not to surprise me how that takes people by the brain. Yeah. Well, you heard that stupid Greek folklore and all that nonsense and the worshiping of all these Greek gods and goddesses. Every one of them is a pervert if you pursue reading about it.
Right.
But God did come to this world. He came through a virgin's womb. God prepared a body in a virgin's womb. He is born, was Emmanuel, God with us. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Listen to this, brother. You mentioned it twice. Not imputing their sins unto them. It's part of our witness as ambassadors. One of my old preacher friends said, Brother John, you're going to give people an excuse to sin. I'm talking about God won't impute your sins to you. He won't keep a record against you. He said, you'll give people an excuse to sin. I said, hey, face it. People don't need an excuse to sin.
Right.
Your own sweet, precious little grandchildren do not have to be taught to sin.
Right.
It's conceived in sin, come forth from their mother's womb speaking lies.
Right.
And the older they get, the worse they get. But don't water down and limit your love and compassion for some old boy and tell him, God will forgive you. He'll clear your case. There's consequences. Brother Dean said that yesterday. You look at my face. Somebody said, I bet you was a mean little booger, wasn't you? And I said, no, sir. But I run up on one or two of them, and they mark my face. That fella can be saved. Tell him, her, them, if you'll come to Christ, like a little humble, dependent child, coming to a faithful Father through His compassionate Son, Christ, He'll save you.
Yes.
He'll forgive you. He won't hold it against you. I was in a meeting and they was discussing. This fat person said, my friend tried to get saved and God wouldn't save him. Talk. We got two or three clergy opinions. I put my little finger up. The moderator said, Johnny, you got something to say? And I said, this friend of yours is supposed to try to get saved. Is he still living on in his sins? Well, yeah. And I said, he's a liar.
Right.
He loves his evil deeds and he hates the light. He won't come to the light. He loves his sin. Therefore, he's still living in them.
Yes.
But God begins to deliver us, my sweet. Grace teaches us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously. This present, evil, adulterous, bunch of perverts. I got that out of the Bible. A lady over in Georgia said, you ought not to call people perverts and crooks. I said, well, that's what they are, a bunch of crooked perverts. And we're the shining light, holding for the light to a bunch of crooks and perverts. Let me encourage you again. Don't mark that old boy off. He's wild. He's crazy. Pock-faced. Scarred up. Mad at everybody except his mama. And that's questionable. No, it's not. No. One of those psychotic psychiatrist doctors was trying to find something. I just wouldn't talk to her. Brother Charles, some of those ops are still sealed. Declassified after 50 years, but some of them are still sealed for obvious reasons. What would the news media do with something like that? That fella could be saved. So I told that psychiatrist doctor, the man in those files died. She frowned at me and I said, the law of God came, the word of God came, slew him. He died. And Christ raised him up to walk a new life in the power of the Spirit. And she's sitting there like this. She said, oh, that's so nice. I'm testifying, people. Bear with me. People can be saved. Not long ago, a friend of mine called me, and his son was starving himself to death in the hospital. He was in the third day of refusing to eat, refusing to get out of the bed. One of his brothers called me, and they brought me up to date on how crazy and foolish he is. One of them called me almost weeping. He said, would you go talk to my brother? Now that situation is easy to read. That's unclean spirits. Devils. Right. I had preached to the man. So I went to visit with him. We had a good long talk. And I said, you're about to succeed in something that's very, very, very unwise. In the third day, sometime in that third day, you never have another hunger pain. That's my experience fasting. Bear with me. Maybe I am bragging. But somewhere in that third day, you'll never have another hunger pain. So I said to him, laying up there, refusing to respond, you can starve yourself to death now. You're well on the way. And you're going to die. And the lights are going to go out. But on the other side of black death, something waiting on you. It's hell. You'll go there, and you'll be pulled out of there, and you'll bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, confess Him as Lord. And you'll be cast in the lake of fire that burns forever. Mm-hmm. Don't be that ignorant. And he started looking at me. Mm-hmm. And it's looking good now. He's eating, doing his physical therapy. I visited with him not long ago. Pray. I'm making a point, people. I hope I ain't bragging. Christ saves sinners. Yes. Let's keep it in mind. As a conclusion to this, maybe an application. As we seek to be a blessing to people by helping them, remember, the multitude did not follow Christ after he fed them, led them, healed them, and or delivered them. Now remember, our purpose is talking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, judgment. Christ's righteousness, their sin, the judgment, the devil's judged in. But if they don't respond, and some of them are kinfolks, don't stop. The next one you talk to may be some of my kin folks that won't listen to me. Mm-hmm. One sows, another waters.
Yes.
God gave, in the next phrase, God giveth. Oh, not always, but almost always in the Bible when the word finishes up with eth, it's continued. Mm-hmm. People, God still shows mercy.
Yes.
He still enlarges our vision. He still empowers us to go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where are we at? Out where the sinners are. Sometimes in the house, brother and sister. Some of them are here this morning. They don't know Jesus Christ. Have compassion. I've heard well-intended church people say, well, that's about what I expected out of them. And you know they hadn't been praying for them. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest.
Amen.
That he would send forth laborers into his harvest. It's not ours, it's his.
That's right.
What is it, people? We're not trying to talk people into notion doing poor old God a favor and accept his son, Jesus Christ.
No.
We're going to tell them about the goodness of God and the awfulness of sin and death and hell and the lake of fire and how compassionate God is to save somebody like me. It's his harvest. Pray. Pray. After declaring that wonderful sovereign promise in Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul begins chapter 10 with this. Brethren, my desire in prayer to God is, and he identifies them, that they might be saved. I'll bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now let me give it to you in my South Arkansas binocular. Bunch of self-righteous hypocrites. Think they doing God a favor just looking his way. Now they going to establish their own righteousness. Whichever way they going to do it, everybody got a Passover. And they have not submitted to God's righteousness. Here's what Paul said about them. Can we say that? My desire and my prayer to God is that they might be saved.
Yeah.
Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. What a wonderful place. The attentiveness of your saints, the preparing their heart to receive the word, the preparation with their hands to feed us and take care of us. And the preparation of this man of God and these elders to see the need of this kind of meeting. Thank you for it. Now, Lord, will you give us the power of your Spirit that we can obey you in every detail in our life and repent when we don't? Lord God, I'm the one that needs help this morning. Please, please, Lord, show yourself strong in this crazy, insanely religious generation. Use us in your harvest, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Sam.
Break, come back in.